You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560.
And just wanted to let you know that our phone numbers for calling in, if you have questions about your garden and what's going on around town or whatever, 808-5600, that's 415 area code, 808-5600. And if you've got any other interesting things to say or recommend, or if you know of an event that's coming up in your neighborhood that you'd like to see announced on air, that is okay to do too. Cool. All right, so let's go ahead and talk to Carmen, and she's with Farm Trails up in Sonoma County. Welcome, Carmen.
Hi, thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So tell me, this is coming up on August 13th and 14th, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So tell me all about it. Tell me who's going to be vendors there.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, we have, so this, the Gravenstein Apple Fair is a really sweet and fun country fair that's been happening in Sebastopol since 1973. So this will be our 49th anniversary. And, you know, there's so many elements to the fair. I mean, it's a top-notch music festival. The libations are all from local producers. So the craft ciders, the microbrews, the wines are all premium libations, and the food is fabulous from our, you know, local farm-inspired chefs and restaurateurs. And there's also, you know, quite a substantial ag component, because the Apple Fair was started by the founders of Farm Trails back in 1973, and our nonprofit's mission, just boiled down, is to keep farms forever in Sonoma County. So we work to connect the public to the producers, to promote local producers and their, you know, goods and services, and to educate the public about the importance of supporting local food systems. So at the Apple Fair, we have lots of our members there, and we have a whole portion of the fair that's dedicated to the to agriculture, and it's called the Life on the Farm exhibit. And we'll have a farmyard, so there will be lots of farm animals for the public to meet and greet. And we also have a farm arena that has a pretty robust schedule both days, where, you know, there are sheep shearing demonstrations, cow milking demonstrations, experts who give talks about how to keep backyard chickens and how to make like hard cider in your home kitchen.
Wonderful.
Absolutely. And, so, and lots of and lots
bees
of farm
too,
vendors.
Right?
Oh, beekeeping. Mm-hmm. Beekeeping exhibit, and experts who will, you know, tell you how to best take care of your honeybees to, you know, support their vitality. We have farm vendors who, you know, will be teaching about compost and.
Whoops, I lost you. Talk about teaching about compost. What was that again?
Oh, how to compost in your garden.
Compost.
Or how to use compost? Yes, and how to use composting, and how to you know, plant using native plants, how to plant in containers, planting with companions, with winter gardens. So it's, you know, educational, accessible. And then for kids, there are, you know, tons of hands-on arts and crafts activities, like making seed balls with native seeds that you can, you know, throw in your backyard and start a garden, hand felting soap with wool roving for making little loofah scrubbies, making lavender sachets, making flower crowns, and then tons of other vendors there, because it really is a well-curated arts and crafts show, not exports. So these are all you know, crafters who are making wooden utensils and cutting boards or sewing their own clothes or ceramics, fine art.
Cool.
Metalwork.
So where is the location and how do you get tickets?
Yes. The location is at a really majestic park. It's a regional park in Sebastopol called Regal Ranch Park. And so the whole fair is nestled under this gorgeous oak grove, and then there's some sunny fields too. And it feels rural, but it's, you know, just right. It's very, very close to downtown Sebastopol in Sonoma County. And the way to get tickets is to go online to GravensteinAppleFair.com. Okay. And we have advanced discounted tickets. It's a super easy platform to use. And then when you get there, you know, you can just scan your ticket and walk on in.
Cool. That makes it easy. And what's this? Why did I write down Ticket Tailor? Is that from the Facebook interface?
Ticket Tailor is the platform. So this is a ticketing company that we use that we like a lot. So, you know, if you go to our website, it'll take you to the Ticket Tailor link where you can purchase tickets.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm always writing down these things with the Facebook accounts. I'm like, let me write this down. So whether or not it takes you right there, which is perfect. Okay, great. So advance tickets are on sale, and they get a little discount if they buy in advance. And you can also buy tickets when you go.
You can buy tickets at the gate. We're still a little bit old-fashioned at the gate. It's cash only, but we do have ATMs outside. And the ticket does jump a bit the day of, so I recommend it.
Pre-buying the tickets, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Is there, David was asking, is there any public transportation? I'm thinking at least you'll be wanting some sort of a ride share or something like that, or also is there a bus system that goes up there from, say, for instance, from Smart Train?
Good question. There is public transportation within Sonoma County from the Smart Train.
Okay. Oops, I lost you. Hello. Hello, Carmen.
Can you hear me?
Now I can. Don't move.
Okay. Sorry about that.
So from the Smart Train, there's Sonoma County Transit.
Transit into Sebastopol, and then we have two free shuttles that are running around town picking up from satellite locations. And that's a good question. We'll put that up on our website under the driving directions. Like, how do you get here if you take the Smart Train?
Right. Yeah, see, you know. And then if anyone's coming from San Francisco, they can take the ferry and they can, you know, hook up to the Smart Train from there. So that's pretty cool. They just have to figure out the hours. Trust me, hours of the Smart Train. Anyway, well, that's wonderful and fantastic, actually. And is there anything else that you would like to let us all know of before I let you go?
Well, I think something that is very newsworthy is that we have been working for years to move towards zero waste, to becoming a zero waste event. And this year we've really raised the bar. So already we have staffed, we call them greening stations for discards. And all of our food vendors comply with our requirements because, of course, you know, everything starts at the source. So when you're served food, it's on a truly compostable plate. We have purchased silverware, so you'll be using real silverware that we'll wash in a commercial facility afterwards. And at these greening stations, when you plates away, we scrape the food off. Any leftover food goes to pig food. And then all of the serviceware gets composted in our local facility. We have a recycling bin, and then we do have a landfill trash can, but we estimate that that will be less than 5% for the whole fair. And we also have invested this year in glassware. So all of the beer, wine, and cider will be served in actual glassware. So there's no plastics.
Wonderful, absolutely. And I always highly advise people bring in their own darn water bottles, for gosh
Oh yeah, we
sakes.
have for sure. Yeah, there's no water bottles or no plastic
Bottled water.
water bottles served, and we do have like 8 filtered drinking water stations throughout the park.
Cool.
So we really are committed to having minimal impact and demonstrating that this can be done, because you can imagine with a large event with, potentially 12 to 15,000 people over the course of the weekend, that it can generate a lot of waste. So we are
Oh, yeah.
really conscious of that and do everything that we can to minimize what goes to the landfill. And the
Absolutely.
last thing I'll say is that we have new this year a VIP experience. If folks want kind of an elevated experience of the fair, we have an amazing VIP lounge where there's a bar that's hosted by Seismic Brewery, Golden State Cider, and Furthermore Winery, an artisan tasting alley where you can meet the producers and taste bites and sips of their products. This luxurious lounge tent, shaded seating close to one of the stages, and lots of oh, and some solo and duo musicians just in the VIP area. So I recommend that as well to folks if they're interested in that type of experience. It's a lovely way to enjoy the fair with some added amenities. And those tickets are only available online, and we expect they will sell out because there is limited capacity.
Fantastic. Carmen, thank you so much for that. And the website one more time to get tickets, etc., and information.
Yes, GravensteinAppleFair.com. August 13th and 14th is the big weekend, and we're super excited to be bringing it back after a pandemic-related hiatus. So we're very eager to converge
Excited.
with community again.
Fantastic. And that's from 10 to 6 both days. All right. Thank you
Both
so
days.
much, Carmen. I'm glad
Thank
this all
you.
worked out. All right. Thank you. All right. All right. And we will be taking a bit of a reprieve at the moment. Come right back for your calls to 415-808-5600. That's 415-808-5600. Gardening questions. Thank you, everybody.
You're listening to Talk Radio 560, KSFO.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
My dad is a it was the happy gardener, and I hope to be happy for you all on a Sunday morning. So, to continue the show, let me take Susan from Fremont. She has some questions. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Edie. It's wonderful to hear your voice.
Well, thank
And
you.
but what I have is I have a Meyer lemon out in front, and its leaves at the edges are all turned inside out with sticky, what I guess are aphids. And I've been just spraying them with water, and I want to know what's the best thing to do, because I also have ladybugs on my lemon tree. I don't want to
Yeah,
get rid
it's
of the ladybugs.
right. No, I wouldn't want you to either. I would continue the spraying, and then monitor the time of the day that the ladybugs are most active, and then try
Okay.
to spray when they're not active. Say, for
Okay.
instance, probably in the later evening, go ahead and spray it with Captain Jack's. Now, the reason I say
Okay.
Captain Jack's is because that one also goes after the mites that might also be hanging out and getting that sticky all over there as well. A
Oh, okay.
mild soap, in the off week or the every other week or something like that, you might consider doing a soapy spray too to clean off the sticky gunk that's left behind
Okay.
by the aphid goo. The aphid goo. But yeah, that's what I would try to do, is to keep them clean, because the more you leave a sticky substance around, the more you'll end up with all sorts of other dirt and everything else stuck to it, and atmospheric smoke and whatever we might be getting. And then that creates another thing called sooty mold, and that suffocates the plant, so you don't want that. So this is good to get on top of it early and see what's going on.
Okay, I will get on top of it.
Okay, sounds good.
Do my spraying.
Okay. I know, a little spritz, a little spray, a little, yeah, exactly. There you go.
Thanks so much.
You're very welcome. All right, and let's continue with citrus questions. It's Citrus Sunday. Can we say that three times fast? No. Hello, Margaret from San Lorenzo. How can I help you?
Hi, Edie. You are a happy gardener.
Oh, I hope
you
so.
You got it. Okay. I have a really old orange tree. It's 50 plus years old. And way back when, somebody had cut off some branches, and so there's big knots now on the actual trunk of the tree. And it looks like they're getting kind of punky now, you know, like I can, you know, push on it and it's kind of punky inside. I'm just wondering if there's anything I can put on that to stop it from deteriorating into the main trunk.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those cutting sealers that you want to get. What might be on the market right now, the color of the sealer should be a gray or a white. Gray is what the color is. But I can't remember. I mean, I don't actually know which brands are out there right now, because these companies kind of come and go, and a lot more in the last couple of years than before, too. So what you're looking for is a tree seal. I just go to a regular, good nursery. San Lorenzo, is that near Alden Lane?
No, they're down in Livermore, but I've got lots of nurseries around. I can find it.
Perfect. Great.
Yeah.
I should know where San Lorenzo is, but I don't. So I'm sorry. I'm like,
I know Bob used to talk about just using a latex paint, but I didn't know if that was for this particular thing.
Yeah, if you can't get a hold of the, I don't like the look of latex paint, I think is the first thing. So if you can get a regular tree seal that has a little bit more breathability, but if you have to resort to it, then you're looking for interior, that rubbery latex paint that does not have any other freaky things in it that the outdoor paint has.
Okay, I'll find the sealer. I mean, this tree is just incredible, and it's so old, so I just don't want to lose it, that's for sure.
Is it a standard orange? Is it a big old honking thing?
It's I think, a standard orange. They're so sweet. I mean, it just keeps producing, you know, all year round. And your dad told me, because I didn't know how to even fertilize it.
Yeah,
it's so big, and so he just told me to spray with fish emulsion, and it really worked good. Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. When all else fails, and you don't know what the root system's going to do, then spray the fertilizer on. That's always best.
Yeah. Okay, Edie, thanks so much. You are a happy gardener. I hope it continues.
All right. Thank you so much, Margaret.
All right.
Bye-bye. Leaves the lines open as it goes through here. And if you actually know you're using a tree seal in your yard and you know a good brand, give me a call. 808-5600. That is the 415 area code, 808-5600. I think we used to have a Dr. something. I don't know if it was Dr. Martin or is that a paint? I'm not sure of them. There was a paint named Dr. Martin's. Anyway, so that's a good idea. And the other thing I was going to mention, because I've had citrus calls, one thing that I thought was kind of interesting, somebody was asking me if it's okay to prune their avocado to get more bushiness and more support. And of course, that's true with all citrus, heavy fruit especially, but also even the lighter fruit. You get a little bit more of a denser bush lollipop. That's kind of how you prune a citrus, is into a lollipop. And you get a little bit more support for the larger fruits that way. It was a grapefruit and oranges. But also you get a little bit more stability, and interior growth will be kind of done that well. I mean, it kind of makes things a little bit bushier. But you want to do that kind of on an ongoing basis. You start in the spring. You look for any shoots that are go outside the lollipop shape, and then you pull those back when you can. But you have to make sure you don't do any pruning on it if you're going to have less than 2 months left until, you know, really cold season or frost. So, and then the other thing is true that you don't want to cut it before a heat wave, because in either way, you're talking about drying out your plant if you got new growth on it that gets zapped, either by severe heat, which would be coming up in the interior valley, well, it's going on right now in the interior valleys, or excessive frost and cold weather. Let's go to Carol from El Dorado Hills. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Thank you, Edie, for continuing on for your father.
Thank you.
We loved him.
Yeah.
And he mentioned alfalfa meal for your plants. Now, can you use it on all plants or what?
Yeah, you can. I remember putting alfalfa on his hanging geranium baskets, you know, just to give them that extra boost. At home, I like to use chicken manure and alfalfa meal as an organic feed throughout the whole season. So when things are looking a little bit pale or pathetic in any sort of way, then I would definitely do the alfalfa, and a little boost from the chicken manure doesn't hurt unless it's a heat wave. So you got to watch for that hot spell.
Okay, but how much do you, if you use the granules or the, what is it? It comes in what, granules?
Pellets. Well, it's either little pellets that are like rabbit food pellets.
Oh, okay.
Or it comes in a powder. So alfalfa meal would be a powder form of it. Right.
And then how much do you use? Like
for the powder, I would say about a half a handful, maybe about it also depends on your plant.
Okay.
It depends on what you're feeding. What are you feeding?
Sure. Well, I was going to feed a hydrangea.
Okay. Yeah, so that would work.
Mm-hmm. What about for the peach tree?
For the peach tree right now, I think you're waiting for the fruit to harvest, right?
Yeah.
Almost kind of, it's sitting there almost ready to do its thing. So that's, I would just keep watering, you know, what your normal watering schedule is, not over watering, of course.
Okay.
And then after it's done, push them with alfalfa at that point. And then it depends on how old the tree is. Say, for instance, the tree is in the ground and it's probably 5 years old or more, then put at least 5 cups of the alfalfa meal around the drip zone of that tree. You know, and do that maybe about 4 times a year. 3 or 4 times a year, depending.
Oh, thank you so very much. And you have
course.
A wonderful day, okay?
Thank you very much. All right, Carol, thanks for calling. Absolutely. We're going to take a little breather, and we will be back. And then we'll be back to Linda, Sue, and Alan. All right? And we'll be right back.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see, good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen. This is Talk Radio 560 KSFO. You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Bob Tanum in the Garden with Edie Tanum. I guess we'll do that. America's Happy Gardener's daughter. There we are. So I'm glad you're with me this morning. And the phone numbers to call in, I think I mentioned Sue and Alan need to call. Anyway, it's 415-808-5600. 415-808-5600. And, okay, let's go to Linda from San Francisco. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Edie. Thank you for continuing the legacy.
I hope so. Thank you.
Well, we're glad to have you.
Yeah.
And I have a Meyer lemon, and I talked to your dad about it before. It's got suckers all going through it and up and around, and I examined it closely down by the trunk, and I just can't see where the sucker comes from. They all look the same. There's three branches, and I sent a picture off to your dad on the website, but it might have been the wrong website. How do you identify where the sucker starts to cut it off?
if you can't see the graft line, which is, you know, in an older fruit tree, it's really hard to see the bark change color.
Yes.
If you can't see that readily, well, the only way you can find it is by looking at the branches that have the most thorns, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Generally speaking, you know, a Meyer lemon does not have thorny branches. So
Right. If
they're all thorny, you're in trouble. If only one of them is thornless and the other two are thorny, then those two are the suckers. Right.
Okay.
And then look down on the trunk and see where they emanate from. Right. So
yeah.
If you've got, you know, you find that one thorny branch and you follow it all the way back to the trunk, that's where you would need to lop it off, just about right at the trunk. Maybe leave about a quarter inch or half an inch after your cut. See if you can get that or saw it off, because otherwise you're just going to continue the problem, you know, where you got, it'll just start sapping all the energy and the main graft will die off. And that has happened.
Okay. And
yeah.
So the suckers will produce some fruit, but there shouldn't be fruit on the suckers. Is that right?
Well, there shouldn't be, but there probably would be. And
okay.
Those fruit probably would be larger than your typical Meyer lemon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I am thinning it so that I can get down in there and see where it's coming from. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'll get to it.
Okay, get to it.
Yep. So much,
and be
Edie.
Very careful. Okay. I know they'll bite back.
Yes. Thank you very much.
And according to someone this morning, it's probably if those branches are larger than 3 inches, you might want to get some tree sealer while you're at it.
Oh no, they're not that large. Trying to literally nip it in the
Catch
bud.
Them. Good. Okay, perfect. All right,
you,
Linda, thank you very much. All right, let's go to Bob from Martinez. Good morning.
Good
Hi,
morning.
Bob.
How are you doing this morning?
I am doing well, very well. I was trying to get over the dizziness. I don't know where that's coming from, but it comes and goes and mostly gone, so we're good. Yes.
I was wondering where I could get milkweed seed so I could grow caterpillars and then grow butterflies.
Yeah, and you're in Martinez. So there is a company that literally will, and I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head, where you can write, I think it has to do with the Monarch Society. Gosh, I have all sorts of interesting connections for butterflies. If anybody wants to know, there's a whole movement back east that a friend of mine's doing too. But yeah, there's also something that keeps coming up in my Facebook feed that talks about getting milkweed that is native to your area, therefore getting native butterflies in your area. Can you email my dad's email at bobtanum@aol.com? And I can get that information for you or for anybody else that's interested.
Yes, my wife can. I'm a digital dinosaur.
Okay, I understand that. There, all the other thing too. So bobtanum@aol.com, but there
Bob
is
Tanum
also
aol.com.
Yeah, and you can also go to my dad's website, which is bobtanum.com. Just simply bobtanum.com, and that's Tanum T A N as in Nancy, E as in Edward. Where did I get that? And M as in Mary, T-A-N-E-M. So I don't know if I phonetically say that correctly on the radio there. And then I can figure that out, either that or hang on for next week and I will have that information for you as well. I should have jotted that down
okay.
when I saw it. Okay. We'll get
okay,
that. We'll
yeah,
get it.
We'll catch you next week. And thank you
Perfect.
Very much. Appreciate your help.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Bob, for calling in. All right, and that leaves the lines open, and that would be 808-5600. Still looking for Sue and Alan. Anyway, what did my dad say? He always said George. Was it George? And what was the other name he always said? It wasn't Joe. That could have been a good one. But it, definitely George got into almost every holding call. I remember that much. But we got 415-808-5600. The other things I forgot to mention was that the show number is 3,313, if we're counting. And that David is our producer. David@creativegoose.com is his email to get a hold of him to talk about Mac problems. So if your computer is not a PC and it's more of a Mac, which I really could have used your help the other day, coming up with a slideshow. Yeah. Anyway, Actually, the guy that lent me the laptop would also have been available as well. But so if you do have a Mac and you have questions about what you're doing with it and how to get the most out of it, email david@creativegoose.com. And don't forget the E's. As I said, I found out last week why. All those saved emails that aren't correct kind of build up on you. Got to be careful with those. So let's go to Lynn in Berkeley. Good morning, Lynn. How are you today?
I am fine, Edie. How are you?
I am good. I'm great.
Thank you.
How can I help?
Well, I have a hawthorn tree that has continued to harbor aphids year after year in the car. It drips on my car, which is disgusting. Mm-hmm. I've sprayed water on it, but I don't want to poison the tree. Do you have any suggestions on how I can get rid of the aphids on the tree?
Check first off for ants that may be carrying the aphid eggs up. So that's the first thing I would take a look at is look on the bark down, you know, soil level basically, and see if you don't have an ant colony that's also busy. You know, in any form. So then I would go ahead and either put some sticky stuff around the trunk to stop that reaction, you know, the sticky tanglefoot type stuff, and then spray the tree with a neem oil spray and do that when there's no direct sun on it. Of course, in Berkeley, you've got some foggy mornings, which would be great to do a neem oil spray. And that suffocates who's in the tree right now. Okay, so you kind of have to break the cycle and then concentrate on that.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Great. You're welcome, Lynn. All right, thanks for calling. Let's go to Shirley from San Bruno about tomatoes. How are you, Shirley?
Very good. Thank you for taking my call, too. We've always had good luck with our tomatoes and our zucchini, but we've always planted them in separate areas. This year, my son planted the zucchini and the squash all mixed in with the tomatoes, and he put the squash in the tomato cages, and the squash have gotten huge, big bushes, but the tomatoes don't seem to be doing as well. Could be that they don't like being mingled.
Yeah, they are really heavy eaters. You know, that's the one thing about tomatoes and squash. Well, squash is a pig, but which isn't a bad thing. Hello, hello. But anyway, the tomatoes are heavy eaters, and so are the squash. So what's going on is that the you know, all the good stuff in the soil that would normally be feeding your tomato plant is being swallowed up by that. So I would actually kind of go, if you're not already feeding with a spray fish emulsion, I would go to that. And eliminate the struggle on plant, okay? Because
good.
The roots are too young, and they're too greedy root systems, and so the soil fertilizer won't really get to where it needs to go.
Yeah. Okay, and he sent for something that's 10-10-10. We've never used it before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got potash. Is that a good fertilizer?
It's a good overall fertilizer, but it does not sound to me that it's organic, so it may not be super easy to absorb.
Ah, okay.
You know, the fish emulsion as a liquid spray on the foliage would be the answer.
Go right in. Thank you so much, Edie.
Sure. No problem, Shirley. Thank you for calling. All right, let's go for Paula in San Martin. You have a milkweed answer.
Oh, yeah. So I've grown milkweed for several years. And if you send a self-addressed envelope to livemonarch.com, they'll send you a milkweed that's native to your area. And, of course, they'll take donations as well.
Perfect. So that was livemonarch.com. I think that's the one I saw online when I was looking for that. I'm like, okay. Anyhow, wonderful. Thank you very, very, very much, Paula. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Okay. Take care, Edie.
You too. All right, Paula. That was livemonarch.com for Bob in Martinez. All right. Writing my notes here. So hopefully you got that, livemonarch.com. Perfect. Let's go to Cindy in Dublin. Good morning. How are you? Cindy.
Good morning, Edie. I just wanted to give a comment. I'm telling you, your dad,
He blessed us. He blessed me so much. On a Sunday, if I heard his voice, my day felt beautiful. His sense of humor and the love in his heart radiated over the airwaves. And I can't tell you how much you know that we love him. And I want to tell you, Edie, you're doing such a good job. You have so much knowledge. It's amazing. Thanks. And you're just so beautiful for us on the radio with your knowledge and your personality. So I want to thank you so much for that, Edie.
Thank you, Cindy. I'm glad you called in, too, to express that. Did you have a question,
Dad,
too?
In my heart. Sure. Yes, Edie, I do. Mine. I remember Dad said something about potatoes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's sweet potato or regular potato, but I have a sweet potato. I was wondering, how do you, he said to just cover it over with dirt, or do you have any more information? I'm not sure what he said.
Yeah, sweet potato is very similar to regular potatoes. What you're trying to do is get the plant to grow.
Okay.
And when you've got your sweet potato piece and you see several, you know, growth eyes that have actually sprouted. So you want to take your sprouted eye, cut up the potato so that you have a bit of potato and, with every eye. And then you take those and you let them heal on their own, right? So you put them into a dry, dark area, right? Like a garage on a shelf on top of a paper towel, just to let them dry and what they call they get a callus over them. And then you take those and you plant them deep. Right. So if it's in a garbage can, you put a little bit of soil, then you put your plant in, your starts in. And then you start to cover them with either hay, straw, something like that, which is very easy to lift up when you're harvesting. So it can be that. It could be Excelsior, which is wood scrapings. It could be sawdust. It could be soil. As long as that soil is super light and no sand. You know, and we're not talking about feeding the potatoes. We'll take care of that later. Okay. But in the meantime, that's what you do. And every time the plant comes up a couple of inches, you start putting more pile more on top, pile more stuff on top of it.
I got it.
Then it grows much larger, and it'll grow through the size of a trash can. You know, so that high, but so you want to leave enough space if you're doing this in the ground instead that you can keep building and building and building and building this material so that you're covering any growth that might be coming out that has more potatoes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're covering them so they never see the sun. It's really important as they're growing, never to allow the fruit itself to see the sun until you're ready to harvest.
That's amazing. So I have a whole potato full of sprouts and eyes and everything. So I don't want to bury the whole thing. Just cut piece off, some pieces off.
Right. Cut pieces off, put it in the garage for a couple of days, and then plant them. Okay?
Okay. Okay, got it.
All
thanks
Cindy.
A million, Edie.
You're welcome. Thank you, Cindy. All right, we're going to take a breather, and we'll be right back for Cynthia, Charles, and Sue. Okay? Be right back.
You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
This is KSFO Radio, and this is Edie Tanum on the Bob Tanum Garden Show, Bob Tanum in the Garden. So let's go ahead and take a call from Cynthia. Good morning. I had a Cindy, now I have a Cynthia. Hi.
Hi, Edie. How are you doing?
I'm good.
I don't know if you I had sent a card to Bob and had the sunflower on it. Along with the video. Okay, and I just...
with the video that makes you cry like, you're running a river?
Yes.
Yeah, my husband warned me about that before I sat down and... Well, yeah, well, no, not... But husband knew of the show.
But usually played it at Easter time, so it does, it grabs your heart. And I know that your dad would say his rosary and that, so that's where I remembered and I started saying my rosary because he was doing his.
Perfect.
Anyway, I have a question. I have daffodils. I live in San Francisco, and I don't want to disturb them, but I want to plant sunflowers, and I don't know if I can plant it on top of the daffodils. Will it harm the daffodils?
Not really. I guess the tricky part would be, is there really enough root area for the sunflower? If we're talking about fruiting sunflowers. If we're talking about the flowering bushy ones, then there's no problem at all.
Oh, okay. The flowering bushy ones. I bought some seeds and I don't know what kind they are.
Well, if they're mammoth, then we're talking big ones, or we're talking about seeds, you know. But if we're talking about something that's got less of a center and more of a flower on the picture of the seed packet, then we're fine. Those are all bushy ones.
Oh, okay. I learned something. Oh my gosh. Okay, good.
The sunflowers with the seed are full of seed, and there's hardly a rim of flower around them.
I get it. Okay. And what about poppies? Can I put poppies over the daffodils also?
Yes.
I want to put color there.
Yeah.
You know, because it just looks like a patch of dirt, and the gardener just keeps pulling out all the borage and everything. And I like borage too, but that takes over sometimes.
Yeah, borage can.
Yeah.
Borage, unless you're using it, it has no place in the garden. I love the blue flower. It's very pretty.
Yeah, the blue flowers. And I let my granddaughter play with the herbs and pretend like it was a kitchen, and the whole house would smell like herbs, chocolate, mint.
Different story.
Peppermint. So it's
I don't care how you're using them. If you're using them, you can grow them.
Oh, yeah.
It's like mint. I mean, if you like your tea, I don't mind you growing mint. I, you know, just make sure that you don't have too much mint that suffocates your citrus like I did.
Right. I learned my lesson. Some mints do take over like a giant weed. Yes, I've learned. Yeah. Gardener should tell you that. Oh, you know, I heard you talking about milkweed. I called up Sloat Nursery, which is one of my nurseries here, and I wanted to plant milkweed. And he said, for the butterflies, he said, they found out that we shouldn't plant it here because it confuses the butterflies.
It's important to know or trust it's really good to know what caterpillars and butterflies and such that are native. Yes, I totally relate to that. My friend, who I grew up with, Corey Maccabee, interesting enough, he's a student of the monarch, where the monarchs go. So he's doing a public awareness bike ride from New York to Florida. Okay. And so what he's doing is he's following the path that the natural, aged, trusted path of the monarchs, right down to Mexico. So yeah, you're right. And they you know, we have our own monarchs. We have our own butterflies. We have a lot of swallowtail. And then up in Sonoma, there's another pipe vine butterfly that's really rare. But, you know, the Hollenberg butterfly gardens are the home to them. So it is really important to kind of see what is your native and produce your native near you. It's not a bad idea to have milkweed if the native butterfly in this area also eats the milkweed. But also, of course, when you're talking about livemonarch.com, they are supposed to sell you by your area what would be the native. And so there's a lot of confusion, and that is where that confusion happens, and that's why nurseries don't want to recommend it, because they can get... They can get plants, but those plants may not be the native milkweed.
Okay. I know I bring in the bees. I planted tons of Provence, lavender, and pineapple sage. So I do have butterflies and dragonflies and you name it. We have, but the bees are in abundance. So that makes my tomatoes just so happy because the bees are right next to them. So doing everything that your dad said, shaking it at noon, and he still speaks to me. Okay, don't forget your alfalfa meal. So
exactly. Well, every time you're going to plant something new, go ahead and toss some alfalfa meal and alfalfa pellets over the top.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.